Let's go look at some pretty books. Hi, my name is Marco and welcome to another episode of Storyline Sessions podcast. This episode is kind of different from the previous ones. I was at the annual Belgrade Book Fair and I have some footage of the author and historian Simon Sebag Montefiore. He was talking about his work and I had a chance to ask him a question. I also have some recordings of the books and ambience to go with it so you can get a taste of how we do it here in Serbia. The Belgrade Book Fair is something that's very personal to me. If you listen to some of my previous solo episodes, especially the one I did about my 30th birthday, you'll hear a lot about my influences and about how I was surrounded by books from an early age. This was the event that helped spark my love for stories, and I think I haven't missed it in about 20 years, not counting the pandemic. It's been around from 1957, and the Belgrade Fair itself, where the book fair is held and where a bunch of other events happen, exists for over 85 years, and it's been declared a monument of cultural significance here in Serbia. That's why it's really sad that it's almost certainly getting demolished soon, because of some plans to build other stuff there. There are some petitions and tries to save it, but I don't want to get too deep into that here. It seems that this was the last book fair in this place, so I'm glad I can share a piece of it and its long tradition with you. So, with emotions and nostalgia out of the way, let's get into this year's event. This year it lasted for 8 days, and despite me going on the 7th day, the crowd was still pretty big. The ticket rows were long, and what made me happy, aside from the general interest, is the number of kids visiting. There's also a great tradition, so to speak, where school children from different towns in Serbia have organized trips to the fair. As this is also an international event, each year we have a guest of honor for the fair, and this year it was France. One of French authors that got a lot of attention is Tony Valente. He's the creator of Radiant, the first French manga, or Manfra, published in Japan and also made into an anime. I unfortunately didn't catch him or any of the other visiting authors from France, but I did manage to get into the panel with Simon Sebag Montefiore, who I mentioned in the beginning. His work includes books such as Catherine the Great and Potemkin, Stalin, the Court of the Red Tsar, and The World, A Family History of Humanity, which was one of the most notable new releases of the fair. He also worked with BBC on documentaries such as Rome and Blood and Gold, The Making of Spain, and his writing is being adapted into movies currently. He gave a great talk in Ivo Andrić Hall. It has the name of the Serbian Nobel Prize winner, and the other halls as well carry the names of some of our great authors. Here are some of the highlights of Simon's appearance and my interaction with him.
The strange thing is, I'm kind of half a workaholic and half very lazy. When I have the chance, I love just to sit in cafes, read newspapers, ring friends, gossip, drink autumnal coffee, watch the streets. Do nothing day after day. But when I'm working on a project, I am completely focused just on this project. I couldn't have written this book, Svet, The World, if it hadn't been for COVID lockdown. I could never have written the book at all otherwise. During that 2.5 years, I woke up every morning at 6 a.m. I barely slept during the night. It was like being in a love affair or being heartbroken. 6 a.m. I started to write all day until I was exhausted. And every night I couldn't sleep thinking about things I'd missed out. One time at 3 a.m. in the morning I woke up and realized, oh my God, I've left Jesus Christ out of the world. Another day I realized I'd left out Mozart. The point is, I wanted to approach everything in a new way from a new direction. And it was a terrible challenge. It almost killed me. I'm still recovering. 30 years of adventures and travels. I was lucky that in the last 40 years I've witnessed many historic events and I've met many historic figures. I saw the fall of the Soviet Union at first hand. And for a historian to witness at first hand the fall of a great empire is the best training. And I was lucky enough to know some of the great historical characters of our time too. Thatcher, Kissinger, Shimon Peres, Shevardnadze, Queen Elizabeth II, and others. And I've used my conversations with some of them in the book in one way or another. But then that's part of it. But the other part of it that you're asking about is just massive, massive reading. Just obsessionally reading books, noting from them, and always trying to start not by just repeating the cliches that are repeated in everybody else's history books, but going back to the first sources in the beginning. And of course it was a nightmare, because even as I was writing the book, well, first of all, I only write a book when I've completed the research. I have old-fashioned note cards, and but of course new books kept coming out, which I had to consume like a voracious cannibal, which I did, and I incorporated them into the book. I write in a very weird style. I start the book and I write the whole book through without stopping, rereading, or anything. I listen to rock music very loudly. And by the way, I've created a playlist. This is the first history book with a playlist. It's on Spotify, by the way. The list of the greatest history songs of all time. So take a look. Yes, my parents were very, they loved books. They were very literary. In our house, we didn't have fancy cars, we had books. Books were the most treasured thing. And when I was about 8, my father gave me this book and he said, he said, maybe you'll do something like this. And all my life, each of these books has been something I kind of dreamed of doing when I was young. First Catherine of Botanica. Then that led to Stalin. I always wanted to write a biography of Stalin. And when the Russian presidency said to me, would you be interested as a reward for writing Catherine Botanica, would you like to be the first to work on Stalin's own private papers? That was another dream come true. Ooh, lovely singing. How nice. Yeah, it needs to be in the playlist. I think the English style is interesting. I mean, history is always a mixture of science and humanities. I mean, the books have to be based in scholarship, but I always write for a wide audience of people who don't have to know the history to read the book. I sweat blood to write the books as beautifully as I can. I rewrite these books, each of them, about 3 times. But I was also lucky that I did the TV documentaries. I did five series. When I wrote the Jerusalem book, the BBC asked me to do a history of Jerusalem in three hours, a sort of mini series. And then they asked me to do Rome, and then Istanbul, and then Vienna, and then Spain. It was a great experience. I don't know if you've seen any of them, but because the budget is very low, the presenter has to do virtually everything. And even when the presenter isn't speaking, you have to walk for miles just so they can have more footage. These footprints are in a place called Habsburg off the coast of Norfolk, on the coast of Norfolk. And they were recently found. They're something like 850 to 950,000 years old. And they're the first footprints that show a family. They're not the oldest footprints in the world, but they're the oldest that show a family. And hence they were, I was looking for a perfect place, a court to start the book. And I remembered these and I went back and found them. And yes, this is a perfect way to introduce the subject. Yeah, Amsudi talked about a world historian as linking together cultures and stories and individuals and worlds and pulling them together like a beautiful jewelled necklace. And that was what I wanted to do. I look back at the great historians of the past. Often they are heroes. Many of them risked everything to try and write the truth. And today in places like Iran or Russia and China, historians, some of whom have helped me with my own books, are facing repression and prison. And so history can be a sacred task. One of the things I'm doing now is an illustrated history of Jerusalem, which was written for children. It's called Jerusalem, City of Stories. Need I tell you, it just got a lot harder to write in the last 2 weeks.
I wanted to ask you, as this book is for really huge scope, it's basically a magnum opus, but what would you do if you could time travel? We know you represent what you think will happen in 30 years, but on this large scale, what do you think could happen if you travel far into the future, thousands of years? What would change and what would remain the same in your opinion?
Well, that's a brilliant question, and I do that at the end of the book. I think all sorts of things will happen. The biggest difference is that there will be a multiplayer universe, a multiplayer computer game will be what the world game resembles. Lots of smaller powers will have their own interests, as happened in the years before the 20th century. And the biggest change will be that India will be the biggest country in the world, China less large than it is today, and Africa, particularly West Africa, Central Africa, will be enormously populous. That means that in one sense, Africa has a huge potential. This could be the century of Africa. There are states in Africa, some of them small like Ghana, where I was last week. Some of them huge, like Nigeria, that have the potential to be world contenders for the first time. But that depends, as it does with India, on the governance of those countries. If they're governed well, they will become world powers. If they're governed badly, they will disintegrate and send millions upon millions of migrants towards Europe. And Europe will have to deal with that.
Thank you.
That's a big answer.
The biggest hall, hall number one, is the place where the most popular publishers and exhibitors are placed. We have two large publishers and bookstore chains that are dominating the market, but the smaller ones are increasingly more prominent, which I really like, and the indie scene is getting stronger each year. We even saw some self-published authors take place with their own stands, and I think that's great. There's a variety of genres available, and you can really find something for yourself regardless of your age and reading preference. For foreign visitors, there's a lot of choice in English and other languages as well, and it's also interesting seeing a lot of Serbian people browsing through those and flocking to titles in different languages. But for me, comics stole the show. There are so many great editions, both for collectors and casual fans. You can find anything from American superheroes, over manga, to some more alternative European comics. I took home a great illustrated edition of the Dunwich Horror. It's one of my favorite Lovecraft stories, and I mentioned it in the episode about my influences. There's also an increase in board games present noticeable, and what is also interesting is that out of all the publishers, a board game distributor published Sanderson's Secret Projects, and they also got a great hardback edition of the Mistborn trilogy. The gallery with used and antique books, comics and records is a great place to find some things that are out of print, or maybe even something that you generally couldn't find in other places. I love getting lost there, and I caught a lot of interesting stuff over the years. For example, these older Daredevil comics. He's one of my favorite superheroes, and I was over the moon when I found him. Overall, I had a great time, and I'm looking forward to opportunities of going to book fairs and conferences in other countries in the future as well, as I love the energy these types of events bring. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Storyline Sessions. If you love creating writing and storytelling in any kind of media, keep following both here and on Instagram. There is much more exciting stuff yet to come. As this poster here says, it's not all bad. The books are good. My name is Marko Bogdanović, and I'll see you next week. Keep creating stories.